Our next guest kind of got me thinking about a new phrase, something I hadn't necessarily thought about, and that's mental distancing. Julie Kligman is a writer and copy chief at Sports Illustrated, and she had a fascinating look on the mental health of athletes during the pandemic. And among the folks she spoke to was Simone Biles, and we're very pleased that Julie joins us. Julie, thanks so much for doing this. I trust you're doing well and keeping well, and hunkering down is going as well as it possibly can. This, you know, when I read your article, the intro to the article, as most good articles do, caught me right away because, one, I had no idea, you know, about sort of Simone Biles, where she is chronologically in her life and in her career, and it blew me away that a person at the age of 24 could be getting to the point where it's not that she's washed up, but that winning medals historically have become more and more difficult. But I also hadn't thought of what it must be like to be an athlete, especially an athlete sort of in an individual sport, where you have a lot of one-to-one interaction with your coach, and to sort of be forced to stand back from that. You know, what did you take away from that article, and what really kind of opened your eyes in researching and writing that article?
Yeah, thank you for having me. Doing well. Hope you guys are too. What I took away was really just the sheer number of hours in an athlete's day that now have to be replaced with other activities. Like Simone says, she typically trains for 7 or 8 hours a day. And I imagine that's not uncommon among elite athletes. So they have all this free time suddenly, like you said, where they're not interacting with their coach, or if they have teammates, their teammates. They're just kind of hanging out like the rest of us.
Julie, you, I know from your days at The Ringer, mental health and sports, that nexus has been very, very important to you. I remember reading a really good piece. I'd recommend this for our readers. You did on the state of the mental health care in the NBA. I think that goes back to 2018. Mm-hmm. So just Google Julie's name and you'll find that. And so my sort of thought here is twofold. One, we've really come a long way in terms of being public about mental health when it comes to athletics. DeMar DeRozan, Kevin Love, Michael Phelps, quote in your piece, Simone Biles. But in the course of your reporting, do you have any kind of sense as to how serious professional sports teams are about this being as important an element as the head trainer, as the head nutritionist, as the head chiropractor, you know what I mean, as the head athletic trainer?
Yeah, that's a great question. They're certainly getting more serious. I wouldn't say it's on the level where it's considered the same as, you know, physical issues, but there has been progress. I believe all NBA teams now require a mental health professional to be employed in some capacity with a team. It doesn't necessarily have to be full-time, but they do have to have people around. The NFL, I believe, is getting to a similar point. So it really is starting to change. You know, whether an athlete wants to see someone who's associated with their team, I don't know. Some people, that would scare them off because they worry about, you know, getting traded or getting benched or something like that. But, the fact that the option is increasingly available to them is a good sign.
You know, Julia, athletes, they're so their lives when they train are so structured down to the minute in a lot of cases, and so goal-oriented, right? It's always train to the goal of a competition, train, you know, a little bit of rest, train to the goal of a competition. I know a lot of athletes, especially individual athletes, but even team athletes, have trouble with that in early parts of retirement when they leave it, that not having the day laid out for them, not having that kind of goal, that obvious goal of the next game or the next Olympics or whatever in front of them, that's all gone out the window here. What when you the athletes you talk to having that kind of framework taken out of their lives, how did that impact them?
It's definitely jarring to suddenly not have those goals to work forward to, and you know they're going to come back on the table at some point, but you don't really know when or how. And experts I talked to really told me that it's key for athletes to be kind of making new goals and new routines, could be as simple as Solomon Thomas, the 49ers defensive end, told me for him it's as simple as making sure he drinks water, texting his therapist, watching TV. Anything can really be a new part of your routine as long as you add some structure to your day, make sure you're not totally aimless now that your sport is canceled.
You know, you one of the points that sort of really comes home in your article, and you speak to the NFL's VP of Wellness and Clinical Services, and I love the way this is put, that COVID-19 has expanded the number of, quote, unknowns, as well as presented new challenges to all players, even seasoned vets. Now, that makes sense, but... You know, look, we had Randall Grichuk on of the Toronto Blue Jays a little earlier, and, you know, he was on with his fiance, and, you know, they're planning to get married in a year. You know, I'm sure in the back of their mind, and a lot of these athletes are young and strong, but we know that this virus does not spare young and strong people, and I wonder if this is just kind of a whole new world for the folks who worry about the mental health of athletes, be the, you know, league officials or team officials, just the fear of doing that, you know, the fear of going back into an environment where, let's face it, you could catch an illness that has been fatal to people.
Right. That's definitely a part of it. There is anxiety beyond just dealing with the lack of your sport. There's anxiety about the whole reason you don't have your sport is, what if I get sick? What if my family gets sick? One of the psychologists I talked to was pretty adamant about his worry in this regard, because just like with mental problems, with physical problems, athletes can be reluctant to speak up too. They might feel sick and not go to a doctor. They, you know, their strength is and toughness are such important parts of their identity. So the actual virus itself does play into the whole psyche here too.
You know, Julie, this is something that it's always been an idea of mine. I don't know if I'm ever going to see it in full in my lifetime, maybe, you know, 50 years from now or whatever. But one thing that I think would be really of great use and interest to the public would be for sports outlets or newspapers or to whatever information we'll be getting in the next 20, 25 years, to have someone on each staff whose beat is mental health and athletics. I think that it's just such an interesting topic to me, and I think as the world heads forward and the impact of social media and just how younger athletes are just sort of raised in a much more, I think, pressurized environment because of so much access to them, particularly online, that I think it's a real topic of interest to the public, and it would also knock so many stereotypes away. And I'm just curious your thoughts on it. I'm not sure it's going to happen anytime soon, but, man, do I think that would be of significant interest for people.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that idea. I hadn't heard that before. I think it's going to be, as you say, pretty hard to come by, because as we've seen, like, news organizations have been hit so hard just by this virus with furloughs and pay cuts and layoffs. So you don't really imagine people adding to their staff anytime soon or creating a new beat. But I think it's absolutely vital. I think mental health overlaps with every sport, with every athlete, not just the ones I talk to who have spoken about mental health in one way or another in the past. It really affects everyone, and I think it's an important thing that all sports journalists should be covering for sure.
Julie, it was really good of you to join us. Thanks so much. Terrific article, and you know, continue to stay safe, and we'll be in touch again. Thanks again.
Thank you so much. Stay well.